Before is like this gem that's hidden in the midst of chapter after chapter after chapter of just judgment. Son of man, prophesy against Tyre, prophesy against Mount Seir. It's just on and on. All these judgments, God is going to destroy these people and these nations. And then Ezekiel 34, it's right in the middle of that. And then the judgments continue after. But let's start out by reading Ezekiel 34, a very precious chapter. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock, the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord as I live, saith the Lord God. Surely because my flock became a prey and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not the flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. And I will require my flock at their hand and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. And I will feed them in a good pasture. And upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick, but I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but ye must foul the residue with your feet? And as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God unto them, behold, I, even I, will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle. Because ye have thrust with the side and with the shoulder and pushed all the diseased with your horns till ye have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. And I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land. And they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the showers to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land, and shall know that I am the Lord when I have broken the bands of their yoke and delivered them out of the hand of those that served themselves of them. And they shall no more be a prey to the heathen, neither shall the beasts of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up for them a plant or a branch of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, neither bear the shame of the heathen any more. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God. And ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. Amen. God is very jealous for his flock. Very jealous. You see the heart of God in all of this? How he cares for his people. Mm-hmm. And he expects his people to be cared for. And when his people aren't cared for, God is angry about it. God loves his flock. He cares for them. They're his own. He feels hurt when they are harmed. So he entrusted his flock to shepherds, but the shepherds lived for themselves. They fed themselves. They didn't feed the flock. They were selfish shepherds. And so what did God do? He said, I'll be their shepherd. I'll give them one shepherd. And God gave them a shepherd, the Son of David, Jesus Christ, the good shepherd of the sheep. God gave him to be shepherd. And there were conflicts with the false shepherds that didn't feed them. God is going to judge them. And then there were conflicts among the sheep, among the cattle. And God's going to judge from cattle to cattle. Those who have abused the other sheep, they will be judged. And he will separate the sheep from the goats. And so there's a lot in here. But I want you to see the overall picture. God's care and love for his sheep. Mm-hmm. And not just leaving them off to themselves. God steps into the picture and he says, I'm going to save them myself. I, he says. So in verses 1 through 6, the shepherds of Israel feed not the flock. They feed themselves. They're supposed to be feeding the sheep. They feed themselves. They eat the fat. And they're clothed with the wool. They kill them that are full. This is the idea, they're eating of the sheep. They're killing them and eating them. They did not strengthen the diseased. It's just left them They're hurting, they're sick, they need care, and they just leave them. They not healed the sick, they not bound up the broken, not brought again that which is driven away, not sought that which was lost, ruled with force and cruelty. This is what happened. God put men in charge, and men are corrupted, and men are selfish, and they feed not the flocks. And so the flock becomes scattered and prey to the beasts of the field. They wandered and were scattered, and none did search or seek after them. Now that's the situation. That's all of our situation. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. This brings up the old question, am I my brother's keeper? Mm-hmm. Yes, you are. Yes, you do have to care for your brother. Mm-hmm. Yes, you are expected when something bad happens to a brother to go and help them. Mm-hmm. When someone is wandering off, to bring them back. When someone's broken, to go and heal them. If someone is falling away, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of meekness. God is not happy when his flock is not being fed. And there are churches today where there's a shepherd set up, a pastor who is not feeding the flock, giving them worldly wisdom, giving them psychology, giving them all kinds of things except for the Word of God. Mm-hmm. And their flock is not being fed. And you can tell by the fruit. They're sick. The sheep are sick. They're falling in sin. They're not overcomers. They're worldly minded. And part of the blame lies on the shepherds who did not feed the flock. Sheep are made to be healthy and strong and to live. If you feed them, they will be. Mm-hmm. This is how the people of God are. If you just feed the people of God, it's really not complicated. Mm-hmm. They grow. Yeah. Haven't you experienced this? That if you're having a hard time, your heart is growing cold, you notice, I haven't been eating like I used to. I haven't been in the Word of God. I haven't been praying. God, help me to come back. And God is the one who brings us back. God chose David, and it said, God said to David, thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. God gave David to be a shepherd over Israel. First, he was a shepherd over sheep, and then he gave him to rule over his flock. And Jesus said, if any would be great among you, whoever will be great shall be your minister. And whosoever you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. In this nation, there is so much emphasis on the individual and individual rights. And people think you can live just to yourself and do what you want and leave other people alone and have them leave you alone. But in the church of God, we're to care for one another. We belong to each other. We can't just live to ourselves. We are here to serve one another. Mm-hmm. We're not just here to take. Right. Sometimes people say, well, I didn't get much out of the church meeting. Mm-hmm. Well, that's not why you're there. You're there to give. And in the giving, you also receive. Amen. But that's how God works. We are to care for one another because God And don't think God doesn't see this. God still has this same heart towards His people. They gather together on the Lord's Day. They're there. They're hungry. And someone better feed them. Someone better care for God's flock because He's jealous about it. And then in verses 7 through 10, God pronounces judgment on those shepherds. He said, therefore, because you did this, He's going to take them away from feeding the sheep. And He's going to judge them. And then, in all of this, you see God's loving attitude toward His sheep. He cared for it, and He protects them. Then in verse 11, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. Mm-hmm. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries, and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel, by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. Feed His flock. Did you know that Isaiah, this picture of a shepherd is just throughout. Sometimes we're so familiar with it, we fail to see just how amazing this is, that all this talk about a shepherd, God sending a shepherd, and then Jesus came and said, I am the good shepherd of the sheep. Sometimes we miss how exactly and perfectly Jesus fulfilled all of this. In Isaiah 40, verse 11, it said, He shall feed His flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with His arms and carry them in His bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Not with force and with cruelty. Mm-hmm. He goes and finds the sheep that was lost, puts it on His shoulders. He will carry those that are with young. And verse 14, He said, I will feed them in a good pasture. He said, I will feed my flock. And then verse 16, I will seek. Now listen to how familiar this sounds. I read this to Silas last night, and he thought I was reading from Matthew. Verse 16, I will seek that which was lost and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, and I will feed them with judgment. Luke 15, verse 4, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Mm-hmm. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, than over 99 persons, just persons, which need no repentance. Jesus is the one who gathers the sheep. God said He would both search and seek His sheep. Don't you know this is what happened to you? If you are in Christ today, it's because God sought you. We have all this emphasis on us seeking God, but God is the initiator. God is the one who seeks first. He came, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus is looking for who He will save, who He can save, and He sought us before we sought Him. Psalm 119, verse 176, says, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Mm-hmm. Here he was in a situation where he's gone astray, and he's saying, I don't know the way back. God, please seek me. Mm-hmm. And this is what God does. If you're in a hard time, you're in a time where you don't know how to come back, call upon God to seek you. God, you're the one who seeks your sheep. You're the one who will search out and bring them back. Bring me back, Lord. Bring me back to where I was before when I was zealous for you. Bring me back, Lord. Mm-hmm. He will both search and seek out his sheep. And so Jesus comes and specifically identifies as this shepherd that God would send, the one shepherd. And John chapter 10 is just full of Jesus identifying as the shepherd. Verse 27, he said, My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Can't we just rely on a God like this? Mm-hmm. Can't we just trust Him to save us? When it seems like we're trying and trying and we can't do it ourselves, can't you just stop trying and trust God to seek you and to bring you back? Faith in Him. Call upon Him to seek you. Peter said, Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Mm-hmm. This is just all through the New Testament. The shepherd, remember, when the soldiers came, Jesus said, smite the shepherd, mm-hmm. and the sheep will be scattered. Mm-hmm. Jeremiah 23 also talked about shepherds. Verse 1, Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock, and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries, whither I have driven them. And will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them. And they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. This is all through the scripture. They're talking about Jesus. God is telling us about the righteousness which was going to be in Christ. Our righteousness. He becomes our righteousness. Because he, like a shepherd, gathers us. And then notice also that God said he would set up one shepherd. One as opposed to many shepherds. There were the many shepherds that didn't feed them, so God was going to have one shepherd. And he shall feed them, even my servant David. Jesus now is the only one, the mediator between God and men. Mm-hmm. the man Christ Jesus. That's 1 Timothy 2:5. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now, instead of many shepherds, the people have to go to a shepherd to get to God. Now we're going to come to God directly through the one shepherd, Jesus. This is the solution to the problem of selfish shepherds. God said everyone's going to come directly to me. And of course, in order for this to happen, we had to have the putting away of sin. So this is the answer to Job. Job's lament when he said, he's not a man that I am that I should answer him and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. There's no one to go to God for me. And now Jesus has come. Now there is a daysman. This is the one shepherd. We don't have to go to a priest. We don't have to go to a pastor. You go directly to God, and they shall all know me, God said. From the least to the greatest, not a second-hand knowledge through someone else. It's first-hand. They shall all know me. Jesus was made a surety of a better testament, Hebrews 7:22. And truly, there were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So under the law, they would have a priest, and you'd go to the priest with your animal sacrifice, and you go there, and they'd say, well, where's the priest? Oh, he died. Well, what are we going to do now? You say, well, there's another. So that's how they had it. The one priest would die, and then they'd have another. But now we have an everlasting priest. Unchangeable priesthood. One shepherd. So this was a transformation of the whole priesthood system. Instead of going through a man, now we go to the high priest directly. The veil is opened up. And then also in verse 25, he said, I will make with them a covenant of peace. And so God is the one who thinks of, who announces beforehand, and institutes this covenant of peace with us. We were the ones who went astray from him, and he is the one who made peace with us. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, God's care for the sheep being fed is still very prevalent. God says to feed my sheep. In Acts 20, Paul was saying to the Ephesian elders, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, Acts 20:28. Over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. See, this is still on his heart. The sheep need to be fed. And he said, for I know after my departing, grievous wolves will enter in, not sparing the flock. And Peter said, 1 Peter 5:1-4, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you. Feed them, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. There's Brother Nathaniel and Sister Rachel. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome. And of course you remember Jesus' words to Peter after Peter denied him three times. Jesus said, "Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my lambs." He saith to him again the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" He saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, you knowest that I love thee." He saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." He saith unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." Jesus saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." It's still in God's heart that his sheep be fed. It's still a burden to the Lord. Make sure you feed the sheep. And brethren, there's plenty of food for them. God has provided abundant food for the sheep. All you have to do is feed them. Instead of living for yourself, you give yourself to feed one another, to care for one another. Because God sees and He notices and He expects us to serve one another. Even in the end of Hebrews, he says, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Do you see this? God is the one working in you to do His will. He is the shepherd. That great shepherd of the sheep is caring for you. He's healing your brokenness. He's binding up what needs to be bound. He's bringing you again and healing you. He's the one working in us. And in Revelation 7, verse 16, it says, "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them." And shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. So this great shepherd of the sheep. Now he's called not a shepherd, but he's called the Lamb, because he is one of us. And he's continuing in eternity. In eternity, he's going to continue to feed his sheep and lead us where we can be fed. Well, it's a wonderful chapter. I hope you've got some good things out of it, and I hope it stirred your interest to want to go and study it more. Anyone have any thoughts or comments?
That last comment you made made me think of Psalm 23, that He shall lead us to green pastures by still waters.
Yeah,
yeah. He's going to prepare a table in the midst of our enemies. But we see all this that Christ is doing for His sheep.
Yes, amen.
This goes along with the theme of the New Testament of taking the responsibility of certain things off man and putting it on God doing it Himself. He's the one taking care of His sheep. He's the one justifying us rather than ourselves.
Amen. And keeping us. We are His. He doesn't let us go astray without bringing us back.
In verse 29, it says, I will raise up for them a garden of renown, and they shall no longer be consumed with hunger in their land, nor bear the shame of the Gentiles anymore. So garden of renown, massive garden to feed us, will no longer be hungry.
Amen.
There was a reference that I guess, the one before you mentioned Revelation 7.
Hebrews 13, 20, the great shepherd of the sheep.
It's not an abdication of our seeking him, and I don't think you were saying that, but it's a recognition that we can't do it, that we can't be good enough, we can't be diligent enough in ourselves. It's recognizing that, Lord, I need you.
That is seeking him.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Sometimes people are like, well, if God wants me, he'll come find me. And that's wrong from the very beginning. That's like saying, I don't really need him, but if he really wants me. Asking him to seek us. To seek us, to draw us to him, is saying that we understand our heart, unredeemed, is desperately wicked. And that who can know it? We don't even know how far we are from him. And yet, Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean.
Yes, amen.
He said, I am willing. Be thou clean.
It honors God when we say that. When we say, I know that you can heal me.
Mm-hmm. And that you can give me what I need to be conformed to the image of your Son. Of course I can't do it. Well, kind of dumb. That's no big surprise. But that God can work it in us. And our willingness is all really that's required.
Amen. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to prepare our hearts for the Lord's table now. There's still... being amazed at the clarity of the prophetic scriptures talking about Christ. How clearly it identifies Jesus as the Messiah. In John chapter 10, verse 11, he said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. That's what we're remembering now as we have the Lord's table. He gave his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And he said, other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also must I bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. It's clearly is indicating here that Jesus was going to bring the Gentiles as well as the Jews to him. And notice who's doing the work here. Jesus said, whom I must bring. Jesus went and sought after the Gentiles and brought them back. And so there's one fold and one shepherd. Now there's neither Jew nor Greek, slave or free. There's one body, all in Christ Jesus. Verse 17, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. He loved his sheep so much that he lays down his life for them. That's what he did for us, brethren. He gave his life for us. Hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So let's pray with thankfulness and search our hearts and receive the Lord's table in remembrance of him.